Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Steve Butella here for Land Academy. Welcome to our Cash Flow from Land show. In this 8-part series, Jill and I talk about what to do when sellers start calling you back based on the fact that you sent them an offer to buy their property in the mail. This is episode 6 of 8. It's called, "The Seller's Calling You Back for My Offer, But the Owner Passed Away." Jill, what do you think? What do we? Oh, you know what? Let's take a question like we always do.
We always do.
Before we actually get into the show.
Okay. So Mark from Tampa called in and asked, so I actually tried to respond. Oh, this is funny. I actually try to respond to the yellow letters I receive. I figure that everything is for sale if the price is right, and it's always nice to form a connection. Sadly, some are unwilling to pick up the phone, put their own name on things, and use their own voices, and it leaves me feeling uneasy. They already know my name and address and are reaching out to me. Why all the secrecy on their end?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Okay, so here's a question. I saw this one and it was a little bit condensed because, as you can see, it was a long question.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the story. Mark clearly is in the business and he owns properties and he gets offers from people, kind of like we send out offers. He gets offers from people wanting to buy his property. So instead of just kind of going, oh, that's kind of interesting, and putting him aside, he calls people to find out, oh, this is kind of a good, you know, reach other people in my business. Hey, maybe we have some stuff we can do deals together, whatever. But what was funny is the comment was, how come when I reach out to these people, you know, you can't find them? Oh, they're not answering their phone. You know, even it's not even their voice. I mean, he made some notes that it was even like, some of them are even like computer recordings, which I didn't know people, you know, they're doing stuff like that. So he's like, I guess his question is, why would somebody do that? And doesn't that push people away like it pushes him away? You know, all the secrecy. And I agree.
Yeah, I think that there's a, you know, Jill and I have talked about this a lot. A lot of this stuff didn't happen by accident. I bet that Mark is a little bit, well, he's probably trying to reach out to people who might be a little bit older than him. Used to be, not that long ago, before the internet, people typically just hid behind their companies. They started an LLC or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that was just, you know, it was XYZ company. It had nothing to do with their last name or anything. And it was a very accepted and actually encouraged. Even in business school, you learn about starting an LLC and why to do it. And you protect yourself and you never put yourself out there. And then all of a sudden the internet came around and everybody, and rightfully so, I happen to agree with it.
Right.
Everything's a lot more transparent. People, I think, want to know who's behind a company. Think about this. You ever mm-hmm. see these commercials for AT&T and Progressive Insurance. There's a woman on there. I think the character's name is Flo.
Yes.
And she has become, and they did this intentionally, the face of Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is a publicly traded company that's owned by a tremendous number of people. And it can get just lost in the whole sea of media and advertising.
Right.
So what they did, and it turned out to work out really well for them, Toyota's doing the same thing right now. They put a face to the whole thing.
You're
and
right.
So now we just think of Flow and Progressive Insurance and the whole thing. So that's the trend. And I don't think it's a trend. I think it's here to stay. That's why Jill are right out up in front of our company, constantly, figuratively and literally, talking to people and making our names just as well known and our reputation as the companies that we own. So, yeah, I don't get it either, Mark. You know, why is all the secrecy? What's that all about? I don't think that the people whoever are running these things that you're contacting, they haven't gotten the memo, you know?
Hey, I have an idea.
Yeah.
What if we did a version of what Progressive Insurance does. What if we had, like, I don't know, Heidi Klum or trying to think, Brad Pitt as the face of our business?
I don't think, I think Heidi Klum and Brad
Maybe
Pitt are fantastic ideas.
We should look at this. Maybe we're doing it all wrong. Let's do something like that. And I don't want Henry Winkler and Betty White. You know?
Anybody knows who Henry Winkler is. That's sad.
That would like be I so do. Funny. This is, can you imagine? Hey, this is the face of our business. This is kind of all we could afford. <It's> just, we got, let's see, like the Leave It to Beaver guy is now doing some commercials I saw. Maybe he's available.
You know, we are honestly going to get to, this is too much fun to get right into this podcast. I'm going to tell a story about exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, let's hear it. This is good.
There's a subdivision in Modoc County, which is in Northern California. I think it's right on the border of Oregon. Mm-hmm. And somebody went in and subdivided, gorgeous subdivision, by the way. Somebody went in and subdivided the heck out of this property a long time ago. And I mean, it's huge. It's thousands of acres. And they subdivided it and then hired a whole team of, like, you know, this is before the internet. So they had to hire the face of what the subdivision was. And they hired the guy that you're in love with when you were a kid, Jill, from Chips, from that TV show Chips.
Eric Estrada.
Yeah, they hired Eric Estrada.
Yeah.
And he was the face of that subdivision. Ponch. They were flying people out. Ponch, yeah.
Yeah.
So I bet we could get Eric Estrada.
Wouldn't that be, I don't want to. Cool.
We are the face of these of this company.
Well, hey, you may have just solved our problem. Remember we were talking about the other day at lunch? We are in the process of putting together in the fall a live event to do. And we were talked about having somebody famous do our intro. Maybe Eric Estrada. I'm just kidding.
I know you are.
I know. Okay, sorry.
So, I mean, Mark brings up a great point. Let's not hide behind our stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Let's stand right up and say, hey.
You're right.
Hey, if something goes wrong, call me. I'm Steve.
Right.
I mean it. I'm not saying that flippantly or sarcastically or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're in front of the company.
That's right.
We'll make sure it's right.
That's why we're in front of the camera.
Yeah. That's why Jill put me in front of a Periscope today.
Exactly.
That answers that.
Yep.
Six of eight, eight-part series, episode six right now,
mm-hmm.
about how people respond, how sellers respond when we send them an offer in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a 30 seconds of background. Jill and I have literally made a career out of sending out offers in the mail to buy people's property. Are they priced at retail level? No. No. We send them out substantially below retail level. And we try to use this methodology to sift through the people who might just want to get rid of their property from a convenience standpoint and not necessarily maximize price. And guess what? It's almost 16,000 deals later. Been doing this since the 90s. And quite frankly, we're killing it. So this whole series is about the responses that we get, the very varied responses that we get when they do call back or when they send back the offer, signed it. All signed. This one's about the owner passed away.
Right.
So often Jill and I talk about the triggers that can that make people sell their property.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is, it's a very popular one. It may be the popular, most popular. The owner actually passed away, and whoever's mm-hmm. got the offer from years ago in the mail, or in the file, I mean, or they just received it in the mail, it's usually not, obviously not the person that passed away. It's the spouse, surviving spouse, possibly a relative or whoever inherited the property. And mm-hmm. we're solving that problem for them. And they're checking it off their list by purchasing it directly from them very, very quickly for less than retail value.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, below wholesale value, in some cases, well below. So, Jill, you're the expert. You're the one who your staff does, but you're the one who ultimately makes a decision about buying property from, you know, which properties to buy and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do when somebody calls and they're a little sniffling in the background saying, my mom passed away and I really would like to sell you this property because I got 100 other things to do with her estate.
Thank you. You know what, Stephen, you read my mind. Thank you. Because that was my very first note that I wrote for this show, which was, please empathize. I mean, they're going through something. So that's number one. And number one, it's nice. And number two, it's the right thing to do. And number three, gosh, it puts you that much closer to having a nice relationship with this person and getting them to want to work with you and sell to you. So you need to just know that you're probably solving their problems. You know, they're going through mom's file or dad's file, you know, whatever it is, you know, that's what often it is. The owner passed away and now it's the kids, you know, and they're trying to figure out what to do. And they found your letter that you had sent a while back, you know, offering to buy the property. And now they're reaching out to you for help. And they often don't know anything about what to do, you know, and they may or may not even know about the property. Sometimes they do. They knew it was in the family, but they don't know that much about it. You know, sometimes it's a pleasant surprise that they're like, wow, look what dad had, you know, set aside for us. So it's really good.
I know it pushes your empathy button, Jill, and I think that's one of the reasons you're so successful at it. And I mean that very sincerely. You know, I think you take a friendship type of approach to most of these sellers. And I think it's very appreciated in this deceased owner situation. So it's very, very effective. I can tell you that. And we really are helping these people. They don't. If you've ever had a family member die, or a parent especially, there's just a long list of stuff to do. Mm-hmm. And selling assets like this to people like us make it super easy. Exactly. Everybody wins, kind of thing.
Exactly. So.
Is there anything super different, Jill, that you do that?
Yes.
We obviously get a ton of phone calls from all corners of the, you know, what do you do that's real different?
Okay, so here's my big thing about when you're in this situation. Two things. One, make it easy as possible. And two, don't take on too much. Some of these situations could be legally tricky. And remember, you're not an attorney. Maybe you are an attorney, but, you know, you're probably not an attorney. You don't want to guess on these situations if you're unsure, and you don't want to get in a pickle, you know, kind of thing too. So depending on the situation, it might be really easy to transfer the property. It might involve more work. They might be going through a probate and attorney that actually might help you in the process. Mm-hmm. And get stuff that way. You might use a title agency. Gosh, depending on what's going on, let's get an unrelated third party involved here. And the other option is, I've had some that were just, it was so tricky. And the expense of getting legal involvement was what was needed to get transfer title and do all that stuff was, you know, worth,
right,
cost more than the property was really worth that I was willing to spend. So some of them I just passed.
Yeah, if I may summarize,
yes,
the fact that the one of the owners is deceased may complicate the transaction. Not always, but sometimes, especially if there's no estate planning and the former owner passed away suddenly. Mm-hmm. Our job, or a service that we offer, and it's obviously free in lieu of buying the property, is to make that as easy as possible. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's so difficult. It's just not worth it. And that doesn't happen too often. I think that's what Jill's talking about. Mm-hmm. But you still refer them and help them to the right way and mm-hmm. Get them to the right people that can help them. So, yes, it's complicated at times. Most of the time it's worth it. And if it's too complicated, we just walk away. Or we send it over to somebody else and get the seller some the professional legal help that they need.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's something that I always do. That's because that's just, you know, who I am. I'm always giving out free advice over the phone when people call me up. And often people are calling me. Maybe it's someone that's getting on in years and they're thinking about selling their property, but they weren't sure about it. I do this often and they're like, you know, I don't want to sell. I'm just going to, we're good. I'm going to keep it for the kids. And I say, hold on, wait a minute, stop. And they're like, what? And I always say, please promise me that if you're going to hang on to this property, you are going to make sure that you put it in their name, you know, now, or get in the trust now. Don't leave a pickle for the kids. And they always go, oh, thank you. Okay. You know, I appreciate that. I do make sure I tell people that. Make sure you think about them. You know, mm-hmm. it's just a nice thing to do.
Right.
And it's so.
Hey, if you have any questions about our business model and what this is all about, go on over to successplant.com and ask some questions. That's successplant.com is an online community that I set up personally for all of our members to collaborate. And with tons and tons of people in there all the time talking about doing these deals. And they would be happy to answer your questions.
Mm-hmm.
Join us in another episode where Jill and I talk about your all-important success in property investment and in life. All right.
Yeah.
Are you going to hang this Periscope thing?
I think so. And that was a good show. Was it kind of dry? Was it too dry? Or
yeah, it's always too dry. I'd rather just talk about funny stuff.
I know, me too. How do we do this?
I don't know.
Well, let's talk about something funny now.
Okay.
What do you have to share?
Maybe I'm just not a funny person. We're in California.
I have something funny to share. How nice, to tie into your California, I'm sorry. So how nice people are out here, by the way. Yeah. As far as, if you're used to beach areas in Southern California, you know parking is tricky. So, and it really is helpful if everybody's really nice and then we all work together. But I am constantly surprised at how nice people are about, you know, when you come up to a spot, you know, nobody's going to get in a fight here over a parking spot. It's more like, oh, you first. No, you first. It's okay. You know, it's just so funny. So.
This is going to be a 30-second rant, and I'll control myself. The traffic in Southern California sucks, and every time I get here, it gets worse, and I'm not set up for that because I'm from Detroit. I get mad at anything. So I promised myself driving out here a couple days ago that I'm going to get a motorcycle or at least some type of vehicle where you can drive in between the cars and really just take some of the stress out of it. I'm a very experienced motorcycle rider. And so I first thing I did when I got here is I got on the computer, went on to Craigslist and found my dream. I've wanted this vehicle since it's a 1979 Vespa 200 PE, P200E. And it's a color that I want. And it's like five blocks from here, the seller. And it's got a surfboard connection thing to it. And the whole, it was just a sign from above that I need to buy that. So I'm going to,
I know.
I took a really bad, negative, awful thing. And I'm picking it up tomorrow, paying cash for this thing. And I can't wait.
I know.
How to take a bad thing and make it a good thing.com.
Exactly. I love it. I'm glad. I'm really glad. But, well, what's cool is you didn't elaborate a whole lot, but this is really something that you've wanted for how many years?
Since I was probably 15.
Thank you.
Which is why it's a 1979.
And you can now afford it.
I think in 1979 I was like, I don't know, pretty close to that age.
Hey, I got to ask you this. In 1979, was it the same price that you're paying for it now?
You know what? I bet it is.
So
I'm going to check on that.
What was the sales price?
I bet it's exactly the same price.
Exactly. The guy didn't lose a dollar on it. He's been driving, and he's the second owner, and he's had it for 15 years.
He's the second owner, and the original owner gave it to him.
Right.
For 15 years, the original paint and the whole thing. I'm a car vehicle nut, so I'm pretty jacked about going to pick this thing up tomorrow.
This is just smoking hilarious. I love it.
It might fall apart on the way home.
I love it.
Hey, on that note, let's go buy some property.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
Landacademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.